नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीर। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दना नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Hare Krishna. So we will discuss chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Om Jnanatim Rindasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात देशधारिण। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सदी गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so if you see, this chapter will describe Uddhava's remembrance of Lord Krishna, right? Chapter 2. So chapter breakup, you have your Subodhani also, that how by the questions of Vidura, Uddhava, who was almost fainting, he just comes to external consciousness, right? Then he laments for the unfortunate situation of the Yadus and others. He remembers Krishna's attractive beauty. He remembers Krishna's human-like pastimes with bewilders. He remembers Krishna's mercy. And finally, he remembers Krishna's sweetness in Vrindavan. Right? So this will be the kind of breakup of the chapter. Shishuka Uvacha इति भागवता पृष्ठा शत्रावार्तां प्रियाश्रयां प्रतिवक्तुं न चोत्सेह औत्कण्ठ्यात् स्मारितेश्वर।
श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड व्हेन द ग्रेट डिवोटी उद्धव वाज आस्क्ड बाय विदुरा to speak on the messages of the dearest Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of the Lord.
So, iti Bhagavata Prishta Shatravartam Priyashrayam. So when asked by Vidura, Prati Vaktum Nachotseha, he didn't immediately speak. Literal meaning will be Prati Vaktum reply Nachotseha. He was not immediately enthusiastic to speak. Right? Usually a devotee would asked about Krishna would enthusiastically reply. But herein, Uddhavji, because he was in a great feeling of separation from Krishna, he could not immediately start replying to Vidurji. Right? It said that actually, if this chapter says Uddhava's remembrance of Krishna, right? This chapter. So his remembrance is what he speaks in this chapter is not exactly reply to Vidura's questions. Because he was in the state of fainting in remembrance of Krishna, actually he didn't even hear Vidura's question. Vidura's question only broke his trance. And then when he came to live his external consciousness, he realized that Vidura wants to hear about Krishna. So he speaks about Krishna. Just like a speaker may speak on Bhagatam, some verse. At the end people ask, what is the relation, what you spoke, and to what the verse. Relation is glorification of Bhagavan. Right? You speak glorification of Bhagavan, Bhagatam class, whether it's directly related or not. So in one sense, what Vidura is inquiring and what Uddhava is speaking, there is no direct correlation. Because Uddhavji didn't even hear the question properly. Right? But he realized that Vidurji is also in the same state in separation from Krishna. So he speaks his remembrances and which consoles both, which consoles the hearts of both the devotees. And of course, in the end, if you see, Vidurji wants to hear Krishna Katha, right? Because the last chapter, he says, Vartam Sakhe Kirtaya Tirtha Kirte. Please speak about the glories of Krishna, right? So in this way, Uddhavji, he just speaks his remembrances of Krishna, right? So, and another important thing is, Uddhavji is speaking his remembrances of Krishna. It is, Uddhavji is very, very close associate of the Lord, right? He is a first-hand witness to so many of Krishna's pastime. So by his remembrances, we can get an in-depth understanding of, Krishna's nature, his beauty, his sweetness, mercy, right? Like some Prabhupada disciple who has been with Prabhupada so intimately, when he speaks his remembrances, right, we can get to know Prabhupada so closely rather than when we hear the second hand, third hand experience, right? So here in Uddhavji, who has directly witnessed Krishna's pastime very closely, he is going to speak his remembrances, right? So therefore, this chapter is exceptionally beautiful. Yes. Yeah. Yes, so herein we are highlighting a different aspect of it. See, the potency of Krishna Katha, devotees add realization, etc., there is no doubt about it. But there is a different flavor in hearing the first hand, somebody who has directly witnessed, right? There is a different flavor to it. Of course, we are not talking of potency of Krishna Katha, even if spoken twice, thrice, third hand, fourth hand, the potency of Krishna Katha and devotees at their realization, it will have the same effect. But when a person who is directly witness, he speaks, there is a different flavor to it. Right? So you should not confuse the two. As such, I am not saying that second, third hand narration will not have the potency in Krishna Katha. Text 2.
यह पंचहाय नो मात्रा प्रातराशाय याचिता तन्ने छद्रचयन यस्य स्वर्ण्यां बाललीलया.
He was one who even in his childhood at the age of 5 years was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it.
Right, so Shukdev Goswami is highlighting the exalted position of Uddhava, who is going to give his remembrances. Right. So, when at the age of 5, right, he used to worship the form of Krishna, here the mentioned doll, you know, the form of the Lord, with using various articles of worship he would made as a child. You know, he would make some articles of worship himself and would worship the Krishna dolls, right? And when he would be called for breakfast, right, he would refuse because the worship would not yet be complete. He would not have offered all the articles he has made that day for Krishna, right? So just see his love for the Lord, right? In Radha Gopinath Mandir, we used to have a class earlier 8 to 9, and 9 a.m. used to be breakfast. So all the brahmacharis used to say, best class is the class which ends before 9. No matter whatever good you speak, if it goes after 9, we will not consider that to be the good class. That was the foremost criteria, right? Because breakfast should not be delayed, right? So, yes, of course, people have various services, but still, you know, we are just making comparison. As a 5-year-old child, he would not come for breakfast because he would not have completed his worship, right? I have witnessed one child in Barsana. You know, I had gone to Barsana for a particular service, and there was one, a physician who stayed in Barsana. He had a son named Mukunda. So I gave him one cookie in his hand, and I said, please have it. And then he went with that cookie and little went aside, you know, he was in his house. He went in one of the corners. I said, have it, you know, why is not eating? I asked his father, why is not eating? Why is going to the side? His father said, oh, Shriji ko bhog laga raha hai pehle. I was surprised, you know. I said, we usually eat first and ask, hey, offer kiya tha kya? Right? So, you know, from the childhood, he said he's offering. Shriji refers to Radharani in, you know, Barsana they call Radharani as Shriji. He said, oh, Shriji ko bhog laga raha hai pehle. He has been trained like that. You know, anything he gets, he personally offers kind of, you know, whatever he gets to Radharani and then eats. And also, like 4 or 5 years child, small child. Right? So, Uddhavji had that natural devotion. And Prabhupada also writes a brilliant purport. Prabhupada says, second line, from natural instinct, he used to serve Lord Krishna even in his childhood. He used to play with dolls in the form of Krishna. He would serve the doll by dressing, feeding and worshipping them. And thus he was constantly absorbed in a play of transcendental realization. Just see the beauty of Prabhupada's description. He was absorbed in the play of transcendental realization. Right? So Prabhupada said, these are the signs of eternally liberated souls. Eternally liberated soul is the devotee of the Lord who never forgets him. Right? And then Prabhupada gives the example of Parikshit Maharaj, right? And there is another example of Prahlad Maharaj also. From the childhood, right, they were absorbed in Krishna. And then Prabhupada, in a very humble way, he puts that we also were given the same opportunity. Right? Prabhupada says, last two lines, by the grace of the Lord, we were given the same opportunity by our parents, and the beginning of our life was based on this principle. Right? In the childhood, Prabhupada would regularly go with his sister to see Radha Govind deities, organize the Rath Yatra. Right? So Prabhupada expressed that we were also blessed with this opportunity. Text 3.
सकथं सेवया तस्य कालेन जरसं गता पिष्टो वार्तां प्रति ब्रूयात् भर्तृपादावनुस्मरन्.
Uddhava thus served the Lord continually from childhood, and in his old age that attitude of service never slackened. As soon as he was asked about the message of the Lord, he at once remembered all about him.
Okay, so Vishwanatha Thakur says, even though years passed, he did not age under the influence of service to Krishna. So Prabhupada says, even his old age, the attitude of service never slackened. Right? So both the things are the same. Basically, the point being mentioned here is, with the passing of time, the time which deteriorates everything in this material world, the spirit of service did not deteriorate, right? So that is actually the life of a devotee, right? So it is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say that to the degree we have the spirit of service, to that degree we have life. A person who has no spirit of service is as good as dead, right? So everyone's life is being taken away by time, right? Everything deteriorates. Ayur harti vaipum sam. But devotee's life is what? Spirit of service, which is not being taken away. Rather, devotee's spirit of service only increases. So he is heading towards. So therefore, day by day, devotee is becoming more filled with life. He is actually going towards eternal life. It's the opposite of the time. What the time produces, it is the opposite of that. Right? So, physically, the residents of Dwarka have been described in 10th canto. They were always strong. They never had any effect of old age. Right? But Prabhupada herein, when he says, in his old age, the attitude of service never slackened. He refers to with the passing of time, basically. That's the meaning over here. Right? As the time progresses. So actually, therefore, one should see one's advancement in terms of increase in service attitude, increase in spirit of service. Right? Now the outer form of, we may physically be engaged, more active in the youth. The form of service may change, but the spirit of service should increase. Right? The spirit of service should increase. And that is the life of a devotee in one sense. Right? Right? We can see that how Prabhupada in his old age, so filled with life, in his young disciple could not match him. Right? He, Prabhupada, would one program after another, go to this, go to that place. Right? Wherever he would go, no question of jet lag, would get up at the middle of the night, translate books, even morning walk when he's walking, other people are running behind him, the young disciples, right? No one could match Prabhupada's energy, right? Although the time was passing and Prabhupada was having old body, but if you see his spirit of service, it was younger than anybody else, right? It was so strong, right? That it amazes anyone who just hears about Prabhupada's spirit of service, right? So our spirit of service should increase. That is with the passing of time, right? That is the important thing over here. Prabhupada says the service attitude of the devotee gradually increases and never becomes slackened, right? Generally, in old age, a person is allowed retirement from mundane service. But in transcendental service of the Lord, there is no retirement at all. On the contrary, the service attitude increases more and more with the progress of age. Prabhupada describes no question of retirement. is only question of increment. Right? Increase of service like that. So therefore, basically, in the beginning, it said he was not very enthusiastic. It was just a temporary phase. And Uddhav ji again, you know, his, as I said, again became enthusiastic to speak about Krishna. Right? So his spirit was always young. Therefore, sometimes we ask devotees on birthday, how young you are, and not how old you are. Right? Sometimes we ask the question, how young you are. Right? Like that. Text 4. Samahurtam abhutushnim Krishnangri sudayabhrisham Tibrena bhakti yogena Nimigna sadhu nirvritaha.
For a moment he remained dead silent and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy.
Okay. So he remembered Krishna. Vidura's questions broke his trance. He started remembering Krishna, and in remembrance of Krishna, again he went into a meditation of remembrance of Krishna. Right? Earlier he was just fainting, now he went into a meditation. So just before, about to speak for Krishna, he went into meditation for how long? For a muhurt, for 48 minutes. Right? Vishwanath Thakur says, for 48 minutes, say almost an 1 hour, close to 1 hour. Right? So Vidurji asked a question and there was a 1 hour silence before he would start speaking. Right? Suppose if someone asks a question and the speaker say, you know, just he goes into a silence for 1 hour, right? Then the lunch will be at 3 o'clock. Right? And the policy Ishta Goshti will be called that no one should ask question during the class. All questions to be asked at the end of the class. Right? Because the speaker start responding like Uddhav ji responded, right? After a silence of 1 hour. Right? So, but Vidur ji, by witnessing that silence and meditation, he felt blessed actually, in one sense. Right? So, we will see over here in this verses. Uddhav ji was in deep feeling of separation, right? The pure devotees are in separation from Krishna, and the ordinary conditioned souls are also separated from Krishna, right? What is the difference between the two? One remembers, another forgets. Right. So therefore, actually, if you see, we don't say that we always talk of the feelings of separation, not the actual separation. Conditioned souls are actually separated from Krishna. Pure devotees experience only feelings of separation from Krishna. In that feeling of separation from Krishna, now, separated from Krishna means they are forgetful of Krishna. Within the feeling of separation of Krishna, the remembrance of Krishna is very intense. And Prabhupada says, yesterday we read, there is no difference between remembrance of Krishna and actual meeting with Krishna. Or no difference between remembrance of Krishna and Krishna himself. On the absolute plane, they are the same. Rather, when in the feelings of separation there is an intense remembrance of Krishna, a devotee attains meeting with Krishna that is even more relishable than physical meeting with Krishna. So Krishna is realized in a more tangible and intimate way in the feelings of separation than in the actual meeting. So this is the emotional dynamics of those who are advanced devotees. They experience feelings of separation which intensify their remembrance. In that intensified remembrance, they meet Krishna. They meet Krishna on a spiritual platform. That meeting is even more relishable. Right? So that briefly you should understand, because this concept will come much more in the 10th canto. Right? So as you know that how all the cantos, they are gearing a person to ultimately towards the realization of the 10th canto. So if you see, first canto has topics, right, which shows, right, which chapters in the first canto? Krishna's leaving Hastinapur and arriving Dwarka. There the ecstatic love of is shown, right? In second canto, in some of the verses, Sukadeva Goswami hints at the loving that the love of for Krishna is the superior, right? Rati Riyo Atmano Bhavet, to ultimately the goal is to achieve Rati, the prema, right? The Bhagwan Brahma Karsne, if you see the last line is Rati Riyo Atmano Bhavet, right? Another place is also Krishna is the Lord of the Vrishni, is the Satavad, Bhagwan Satvatam Patim, therein the Lord who of the Vrishnis, right, the devotees of Dwarka and Bhagwan Satvatam Patim, the Lord of the devotees of Vrindavan, they are just briefly they are hinted at, right? So all the, you will find all the cantos, they in between shed light at the 10th canto, right? There's the meaning of Dashmasya Vishuddhartham Navanamiha Lakshanam, right? All the 9 cantos are meant to gradually make a person gradually uncover something from the 10th canto, right? And then it is fully revealed in the 10th canto itself, right? This beautiful pastime of the Lord. So therefore, if you see herein, this chapter is actually like a small spotlight on the 10th canto, right? Uddhavji is remembering, his remembrance is over herein. So this is this is a little bit about the feelings of separation which Uddhavji is undergoing at this point of time, right? So Prabhupada says, on the inquiry by Vidura about Krishna, Uddhava appeared to be awakened from slumber. He appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he again remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and remembered all his transcendental loving service unto him. And by so doing, he felt the same ecstasy as he used to feel in the presence of the Lord. And again Prabhupada says, because the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his remembrance and his personal presence. Text 5. Pulukod bhinna sarvango Unchan miladisha sucha Purunartho lakshitastena Sneha prasara samplutaha.
It was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord.
Okay, so in that one muhurt, 48 minutes of meditation, there appeared many ecstatic symptoms on Uddhava's body, right? Purunartho lakshitastena, said Vidura, understood that Uddhava has completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. Again, you know, a very beautiful phrase by Prabhupada, right? And Vidurji himself felt that by witnessing that, I am also become Purnartho. All my pilgrimage has become successful by witnessing, by meeting Uddhavji. Right? So there are verses like that when Lord Nityananda Prabhu was traveling on pilgrimage, he met Madhavendra Puri. When he saw his ecstatic love, Nityananda Prabhu said, "My long travel." Right? Almost how many years Lord Nityananda Prabhu did a pilgrimage? Almost 20 years. Lord Nityananda Prabhu's pilgrimage was 20 years. Nityananda Prabhu says, "Today by witnessing the love of Madhavendra Puri, my whole pilgrimage has become successful." Right? So like that, you know. So Uddhavji, when he went to Vrindavan, he also iterated the same sentiment that today I have attained the highest perfection by witnessing the love of the resident of Vrindavan. Oh, yuyam smapurnartho. Right? Like that he exclaims. So in this way, Vidurji considers that his pilgrimage has been successful, purnartho, by witnessing this love. He didn't become restless, you know, what is happening is not answering the question. Right? He's not worried when will the class start, when will the class end. Right? So he is just considering himself, just by witnessing the symptoms, he feels he has become successful. Right? So Prabhupada describes, this word describes the perfectional stage. Prabhupada described there are the three stages. You see the line, fifth, sixth line of the purport. There are three different stages of development in devotional service. The first stage is that of following the regularity principles prescribed in the code of devotional service. The second stage is the stage is that of assimilation and realization of the steady condition of devotional service. Right? So first is the initial, the Kanishth Adhikari, he should strictly follow all the regularity principles. Following regularity principles continues, but with the service, a person assimilates realization and steady condition of devotional service. That is a madhyam, right? A person at a madhyam platform. By dedicating himself into service, he assimilates various realization. And at the last stage is that of ecstasy, symptomized by transcendental bodily expression. That is that of Uttam Adhikari, the stage of Uttam Adhikari. So Prabhupada describes these three stages. Text 6. Shanakair Bhagavallokan Narlokam Punaragata Vimrijya Netre Viduram Prityahuddhavutsmayam.
The great devotee Uddhava soon came back from the abode of the Lord to the human plane, and wiping his eyes, he awakened his reminiscence of the past and spoke to Vidura in a pleasing mood.
So, again, very important siddhant is given. Uddhav, by his remembrance, he was in abode of the Lord. He was with the Lord in the abode by his, right? And then he came down to this earthly plane, came down to external consciousness, right? To answer the questions of Vidura. Right? It said that the Vishnu Thakur says, and it said that he answered in a pleasing mood, right? He was having a little smile on his face while answering. Although he was feeling separation, suddenly what happens? He is now a little bit smiling. And Vishnu Thakur says, the Lord advised him, he was in the abode of the Lord. The Lord told him, go, answer the question of Vidura. Right? Right? And there was a little smile on his face. Right? Because the Lord said, "O Uddhava, please return to answer the question of Vidura." Right? So he with his consciousness of the body was here, he was in the abode of the Lord, and by the soothing advice given by the Lord, Right? He came to the external consciousness to reply to Vidura. So there was a smile on his face. Right? So a nice Siddhant comes over herein. It is, we are where our consciousness is, right? Even if a person is externally in a hellish condition, if he is thinking of the Lord, he is actually in Vaikuntha. Even if a person is living in the temple, but is contemplating sense gratification always, he is living in a hellish condition. So, we are where our mind is, consciousness is. Right? So therefore, if you see, so many devotees, they always pray that no matter whatever their physical situation may be, let them have continuous remembrance of Krishna. Right? Because in continuous remembrance of Krishna, they are always with Krishna. They are always in Krishna's abode. Right? So it is the remembrance of Krishna and not the external condition that matters in one sense. Of course, for us, we carefully choose the external condition where we can remember Krishna. But pure devotees, they say, even if there be a very difficult condition, please bless us that we can remember you. And we are satisfied with that. Right? Vritrasur in a demon's body, very, very unfavorable situation, remembered the Lord always. Right? Even when Jai Vijay fell down, they asked the Lord that may we always remember you. So they were given continuous remembrance of the Lord. Right? Even though in the demon's body. Right? So it is the remembrance of the Lord. Right? And of course, we understand that devotional service is cultivating favorable remembrance of the Lord. They were special cases, but we remember the Lord in a favorable way. That is described as pure devotional service. Right? So there is a beautiful verse in 12th canto, Avismriti Krishna Padarvindayor. Avismriti word is used. Avismriti is like, we say, always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Right? So if you see, Avismriti has two negative connotations. It is a stronger term to tell someone, do this always. Right? That probably doesn't register in, especially in conditioned soul's mind as such. To tell him, never do this. That registers a little strongly. Right? Kind of, you know. So, therefore, avismriti. Smriti means remembrance. Vismriti means forgetfulness. And avismriti means never forget. Right? Never forget Krishna. So, that has a stronger connotation than always remember in one sense. Especially for the conditioned souls, right? So the word avismriti is used. Avismriti Krishna Padaramandir 12-12-55. It's a beautiful verse also. You can go through yourself, right? So the point is, by avismriti, by continuous remembrance, a devotee always lives with the Lord. Right? So therefore, Uddhavji, by his remembrance, he was in Vaikuntha. He came down to answer the questions. So Prabhupada says, second line, the pure devotee live constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body which apparently belongs to this world. Go ahead, one or two lines. When Uddhava wanted to speak to Vidura, he came down from the abode of the Lord, Dwarka, to the material plane of human beings. Even though a pure devotee is present on this mortal planet, he is here in relation to the Lord for engagement in transcendental loving service and not for any material cause. Right? So, the two things that the pure devotees of the Lord, wherever they are always remembering Krishna and always serving Krishna. Right? So Prabhupada says that even if they are here on the mortal plane, they are for Krishna's service. And they are always remembering Krishna. Right? And then Prabhupada describes elaborately that how a person can achieve the highest perfectional stage of life, to be always with the Lord, right? It begins with a seed, right? This Bhakti Lata Beej Prabhupada basically describes from Chaitanya Charitamrita 20th chapter, that instruction to Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada describes elaborately. Prabhupada describes very elaborately. Bhakti Lata Beej in the 20th chapter is described by Lord Himself to Rupa Goswami. Here Prabhupada just gives a synopsis of that. Right? The devotee is compared to the gardener. He receives a seed by the Lord's mercy. He cultivates that seeds. And then even while he is here in the material world, he can enjoy the fruit which this Lata produces when the Lata reaches Goloka Vrindavan. Right? So that Prabhupada describes in this particular, right? Which actually this Bhakti Lata Beej is a very beautiful topic. At least 1 hour we discuss this Bhakti Lata Beej when we discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if we happen to be together in that class, we will discuss. Right? Okay, text 7. Uddhava uvacha. Krishna dyumani nimloche. Girneshu vajagarenaha. Kimnuna kushalam brujam. Gata shrishu graheshuham.
Shri Uddhava said, "My dear Vidura, the sun of the world, Lord Krishna, has set and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare?"
Okay, so the sun of Krishna has set. So Uddhav ji, this is the second section. First is Uddhav ji was awakened and Vidur witnessed his pure love. Second is now Uddhav ji begins speaking. Second section 7 to 11. Where Uddhav ji laments for the unfortunate situation of the Yadus. Right? That is the second section, 7 to 11. So, Uddhav ji begins by speaking philosophically. Right? He gives a philosophical reply in order to pacify, Vishnu Thakur says, in order to pacify Vidura. Right? He said, he's asking, he heard the term well-being, you know, he's asking about the well-being of everyone. So he said, what well-being? The son of Krishna has disappeared and we all have been plunged into great darkness. Right? So he gives this philosophical reply. So Prabhupada says the comparison of Krishna to sun is very appropriate. Right? So Prabhupada gives few points. First he says the appearance of that Krishna, his comparison to sun is appropriate because first point is Krishna's disappearance doesn't affect Krishna. Right? Now the sun has set, when it says sun has set, it is actually, sun is not affected. It is not that someone has covered the sun. Right? Sun is not affected. So Krishna's disappearance doesn't affect Krishna. It affects us who are plunged in the darkness. And Krishna, when he disappears from one, he appears at another place. The second point in the comparison. That means Krishna's pastimes are continuously going on. Right? So in this way, Prabhupada says this comparison is very appropriate. However, as I said that although it doesn't affect Krishna, but it affects us, right? When the Krishna leaves, how does it affect us? It's described over here in at the sunset, when the sun sets, the snakes become powerful, the thieves are encouraged. I am reading the last paragraph. Ghosts become active, the lotus become disfigured, and the Charvaki laments. So with the disappearance of Lord Krishna, the atheists feel enlivened and the devotees become sorry. Right? So this is the meaning of that we are being devoured by the snake. Right? Girneshu ajagarenha. We are being devoured by a snake. That is the meaning given in the last paragraph. Text 8. Durbhago bada lokoyam yadvo nitaramapi ye samvasanto na vidur harim meena ivodupam.
This universe with all its planets is most unfortunate. And even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon.
So, this universe with all its planets is most unfortunate. Why they are most unfortunate? So Krishna's sun has set. For us, Krishna is no longer visible. Right? So therefore, when Krishna has left, this planet becomes unfortunate. And he's saying even more unfortunate are members of the Yadu dynasty because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead. Any more than a fish could identify the moon. So example is given. The moon appeared from the ocean of milk. And the fish thought the moon, you know, who is a very exalted personality, the giver of rasa, right, to be just like another brilliant fish. Right? So therefore, he is saying that we Yadavas just thought Krishna to be one of the Yadavas, the leader of the Yadavas, Yadupati. You know, he is also the Yadavas in the position of leader of the Yadavas. Moon is like just another fish, is a little more brilliant fish. Right? But identifying as a fish, identifying one of the Yadus. So he's saying that even more fortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty because they could not identify Lord Hari as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this statement has to be understood properly. This is an emotional statement. See, there's a difference between emotional statement and a factual statement. Right? So here, Uddhav ji is lamenting that, you know, we just took Krishna for granted. One of us. Right? We could have dedicated ourselves more. We could have served him more. Right? Vishwanath Chakra Thakur said, the actual fact is, Yadus, those who recognize Krishna as Supreme Lord, Yadus are better than them because they were more intimate, they had knowledge of his sweetness. Realization of Krishna's sweetness is superior to just the realization of his opulences. We know that point. But herein, Uddhavji is emotionally affected. Therefore, he is saying, we are unfortunate, we took Krishna for granted. And that's an important lesson for sadhakas. Right? So we have to understand from his emotional feeling, there is one important lesson, which is often Krishna's pure devotees, we get a chance to meet them, hear from them, serve them, but we do not take them very seriously. We just consider them, okay, he is also one of the ISKCON devotees. Fine, I will hear a recorded class later. Now he may be speaking, right? So we may not take full advantage of Krishna's pure devotee, those who descend. Right? So familiarity is often found in this material world. Even when Krishna's pure devotee, Krishna himself come, familiarity is seen. Now Uddhavji was always pure devotee, but he feels emotionally that he has been too familiar with Krishna and could not serve him, could not fully recognize him. Right? So that is the feeling of his heart. You got the point? So that is therefore he is expressing that feeling over here. That even, we are even more unfortunate than the others who could not recognize Krishna. Right? So And Prabhupada gives in this second paragraph, here in the ocean of milk, you know, the fish appeared from the ocean of milk, that example is given. So Prabhupada gives a very brilliant purport. Prabhupada says, those who do not believe in the existence of ocean of milk because they have experienced only the salt, right? This is the fourth line of second paragraph. Those who do not believe in the existence of the ocean of milk because they have experienced only of the salty water in the ocean should know that the world is also called go, which means the cow. So Prabhupada says, those who suffer from liver disorder, they are only given cow urine and not cow milk. So they have only experience of salty cow urine. They think that the cow milk doesn't exist. But then Prabhupada says the cow milk exists. Right? Although they may not have experienced it. Right? So Prabhupada gives that example. There was once Prabhupada was talking of the ocean of milk. This is a beautiful pastime. And one of the disciples asked, Prabhupada, does ocean of milk really exist? Right? Prabhupada said, come, I will drown you in it. Right? That means you will experience. Right? When you experience the mercy of Krishna, then everything will make sense. Prabhupada said, come, I'll drown you in it. So like that is a pastime. So those who know only of salt water ocean, they may not believe. Right? Because diseased liver patients may never have tasted the milk, which is nectarian like that. So it's a beautiful comparison given by Prabhupada. Text 9. Ingita gyaparu prauda eka ramascha sattvata sattvatam rishabham sarve bhutavasam amamsata.
The Yadus were all experienced devotees, learned and expert in psychic study. Over and above this, they were always with the Lord in all kinds of relaxations, and still they were only able to know Him as the One Supreme who dwells everywhere.
Okay, so again, it has to be understood carefully. The Vishnu Thakur says, the inhabitants of Dwarka were not devoid of knowledge of the Lord's power, unlike the inhabitants of Gokul, who experienced only sweetness. Okay, so Uddhavji is saying, although the Yadus were all very experienced, learned and expert, they could only recognize Krishna as the super soul. They could not recognize Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan. They only recognize Him as the super soul. So Vishnu Thakur says, what is his feeling? Again, it's his emotional feeling, remember that. In this material world, it is proper that some know Krishna as Bhagavan and some do not. This is not criticized. Criticized are those who are intermediate, those who know Bhagavan only partially. Yadavas knew Krishna as the super soul, but not as Swayam Bhagavan, the source of Narayan. So Uddhavji is saying, you know, although Yadu were learned, they could not recognize Him as the Supreme Bhagavan. Right? So again, remember this, he is, if we go by Uddhavji's previous statement that people are, those who could not recognize Krishna, they are unfortunate. We were so close to Krishna, we could not recognize Him fully. We are most unfortunate. Going by that standard, Vrajavasis who didn't know, even they didn't recognize Krishna as super soul, they should be most unfortunate, but they are the most fortunate. Right? So if we go by that standard. Right? But that is his emotional feeling, as I said, you know, we became familiar. But herein he is making the point, Yes, those who recognize Krishna fully as Bhagavan are fortunate. Those who didn't recognize, only recognize his sweetness, they are also fortunate. But we recognize Krishna only partially. Right? We are unfortunate. Again, that is his feeling of the heart. Right? Again, that is feeling of the heart. So, again, sometimes, again I said, sometimes the sentimental, the emotional statement and factual statement, although they are opposite, they both can be true. Right? So the Yadavas are fortunate and unfortunate. From his emotions, the Yadavas are unfortunate. There is a point in that. But factual statement, the Yadavas are fortunate. Right? Just like some devotee may say, Prabhu, I am so fallen. Other may say, no, you are very advanced. I say, no, I am very fallen. He said, I am very advanced. But no, you are very advanced. So they are two opposite statements. Right? If you see, from his perspective, when he's feeling, his emotional feeling of the heart out of humility, he's saying that is a fact. But the other devotee considers him to be advanced. From his perspective, that is also a fact. So therefore, the two 180 degree opposite statements can be simultaneously true because they are being spoken. One is an emotional, one is a factual statement. Or they are spoken from a different perspective. Therefore, from different perspective, even two directly opposite statements can be simultaneously true. Therefore, when Uddhavji is saying, we are most unfortunate, right? That's the fact. Vishnu Thakur saying, no, the Yadavas are fortunate because they realize his sweetness more than opulence. That is also a fact. Right? So therefore, you should be able to see from different perspective, opposite statements, they make perfect sense. Text 10.
Devasya Maya Sprishta Ye Chanyad Asadashrita Brahmate Dhirna Tadvakir Atmane Uptatmano Haro.
Under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls.
Okay, so in this verse, Uddhavji is saying, we could not fully understand Krishna. But those who fully misunderstand him, they live in hellish condition of life. Right? So he considers himself to be unfortunate because they could not fully understand Krishna. From his emotions he is speaking. But now he speaks a factual statement where he says, those who fully misunderstand him, they are actually like residents of hell. So there are people who here in Vishnu Thakur explained that Uddhav is pointing out at the mentality of atheism. The pious atheist says that Krishna gave up his body and went to Vaikuntha. The impious atheist says Krishna was killed by Jara for his misdeeds. Or Krishna's dynasty was destroyed by the Shap of the Brahmanas because Krishna plotted against the virtuous sons of Dhritarashtra, the Kauravas, right? So there are impious atheists. So there are pious and impious atheists, both. Right? But they all misunderstand. Right? So said such people who utter such statements, they go to hell. Right? And those who are bewildered by such statements, even they go to hell. But Uddhavji is saying, under no circumstances can the words of a person bewildered by the illusion of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those. So all these people who are heading towards hell, their words cannot deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. Right? So there are many atheistic statements those who fully misunderstand Krishna, they are surely heading toward the hellish existence, but they cannot deviate the mind of the devotees of the Lord. Devotees are not affected by such statements. Again, it is in relation to the, he's talking about the philosophical answer, philosophically he's explaining Krishna's disappearance, right? So he's saying the Lord has left, those who couldn't recognize him, they are unfortunate, we are most unfortunate, and those who fully misunderstand him, they are like in the hellish existence. But one should not be deviated. It's in the same line, if you see. Right? So he describes about different people who... Now herein, those who completely misunderstand Krishna's appearance and disappearance. Right? So he's saying, therefore, one should not be misled by their words. He's indicating at Krishna's disappearance. Misled by these atheistic words. Right? By these atheistic words. So Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, the Yadavas were only partially cognizant of the Lord, but they are also glorious, right? Although Uddhavji is saying that we are most unfortunate, but Prabhupada says they are also glorious. Now this is a factual statement. Because they had the opportunity to associate with the Lord, who acted as the head of the family, and they also rendered the Lord intimate service. The Yadavas and other devotees of the Lord are different from those who wrongly calculate him to be ordinary human personality. Such persons are certainly bewildered by Lord's illusory energy. They are hellish and are envious of the Supreme Lord. The illusory energy acts very powerfully on them because in spite of their elevated mundane education, such persons are faithless and are infected by the mentality of atheism. Right? So I think mentality of atheism, they are pious and impious atheists, both. And then Prabhupada also describes the mentality of atheism towards the end of the, in the last few lines of the purport. And Prabhupada says, but those who are disturbed by the statements of the asuras are also condemned. Devotees should not be disturbed by such statements. Those who make such statement, they are condemned. Those who become bewildered by such statements, they also are condemned. They also head toward the hellish existence. That is what is meant by Uddhavaji in this verse. Text 11. Pratyadarshaya taptapsam avitripta disham ninam adayantara adhadyastu sobimbam lokalochanam.
Lord Shri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him as he is due to not executing required penance.
Okay, so this is another beautiful verse. Pradarshya tapta tapsam avitripta disham ninam adaya antar adhad. Antar adhad is antaradhan, what we used to call, right? He disappeared. So the Lord manifested this form and then later he removed this from the sight of, right? So this verse actually very beautifully applies to both ordinary people and to the devotees, right? So just see carefully how it applies. Padarshyata atapta tapasam. Those who did not have sufficient austerity, padarshyata, they could see the Lord, right? Even the ordinary people could see the Lord, right? And the devotees, how the word a tapta tapasam replies to devotees, Because the devotee saw the Lord by mercy and not tapasya. No one can obtain the Lord darshan simply by tapasya. So the ordinary people who didn't have sufficient austerity could see the Lord. The devotees could see the Lord by the mercy and not by austerity. Therefore the word atapta tapasam applies to both. Okay? The Lord became visible even to ordinary person and even to the devotees. Second, avitripta disham ninam. Avitripta disham ninam again applies to both ordinary and people and the devotees. To the ordinary people it implies that they could not become satisfied by seeing the Lord because of their material hankerings. Because of material hankerings, avitripta, they remain avitripta. Although the Lord came before them, still they didn't got the complete satisfaction. And for the devotees, avitripta disham applies. The devotee could not feel satiated by seeing the Lord. There is a difference between satisfaction and satiation. Right? So satiation means they were not fully satisfied. They were increasing great satisfaction, but they never felt satiation. Avitripta disham ninam. And then, adaya antar adhadyastu so bimbam loka lochanam. And the Lord disappeared. Right? The Lord disappeared. For the ordinary people, it disappeared, and now they no longer could see his form or taste his form. For the devotees, he disappeared so that they can increasingly taste his sweetness in feelings of separation. Right? So therefore this word beautifully applies to both the ordinary people as well as the devotees of the Lord. Padarshita tapta tapasam avitripta drisham nirnam adayantara dhadyastu so bimbam loka lochanam. So, Prabhupada said in this verse, avitripta disham is most significant. The conditioned soul in the material world were all trying to satisfy their senses in various ways. But they have failed to do so because it is impossible to be satisfied by such efforts. Right? And then second paragraph, Prabhupada says, the Lord himself come to display his transcendental pastimes, typically represented at Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. He appeared just to attract the conditioned soul back to Godhead, back home to the eternal world. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. So again, Vishnu Thakur says, by using the word antar adhad, third line, the Sukhdev Goswami or Uddhav ji herein is defeating the idea that the Lord gave up his body. Antardhan means he disappeared. Right? So that Prabhupada describes towards the end of the purport, how the Lord disappeared. And also, so bimbam loka lochanam, right? That now people were unable to see the form of the Lord. Especially for the devotees, it's mentioned that when the Lord took his form away, the devotees became like blind. Right? They could not see anything. So Krishna appeared, and when he left, he created blindness because they could not see him and they could not see anything else also in that blindness. So here, Vishnu Thakur says, this statement suggests Vyaj Stuti. You heard the term Vyaj Stuti? That Krishna, by taking his form away, made everyone blind. That is suggested in the Ade Antara Dhadyastu So Bimbam Loka Lochanam. Vyajastuti, you have heard the term Vyajastuti? Vyajastuti means, you will find this term in many places, Vyajastuti means criticism acting as a praise. Criticism acting as a praise. Just like example is given, you know, when you go for interview, they ask you the question, what are your strengths and what are your weakness? That is one of the questions, you know. So our seniors told us You know, they said, look, they will ask this question. What is your strength? So you describe your strength. When they ask what is your weakness, then you say, you know, when someone misbehaves, I just cannot tolerate. We said, is that weakness or this is the strength? Right? I cannot tolerate any kind of misbehavior. This is my weakness. This is like a vyaj stuti. Right? You got the point. This is like you are saying this is my weakness, but it looks like a strength only. Right? So vyaj stuti is criticism acting as a praise. Krishna blinded the eyes of everyone, you know, after taking his form away. It looks like a criticism, but it is a stuti in the sense that Krishna was so beautiful that they could not appreciate any other thing. They became like blind, just searching for the Lord, searching for the same form. So it's a vyaj stuti. Criticism acting as a praise. This kind of phrases come so many times in Bhagavatam. You will see as you go ahead. Right? So therefore, this phrase also is an example of vyaj stuti. Right? This verse suggests that. Okay, so this is the second section where Uddhavji laments for Krishna's disappearance, that the world has become unfortunate, we have become unfortunate, and those who speak nonsense, you know, they are anyway the most unfortunate living in the hellish condition, right? So in this way, Uddhavji speaks in this section. So now the next section, text 12 to 14, three verses. Uddhavji is remembrance of Krishna's attractive beauty. That's the third section.
Yanmarte lila upayakam sayoga maya balam darshayata grihitam Vismapanam swasya cha saubhagarde Param padam bhushana bhushanangam.
The Lord appeared in the mortal world by His internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in His eternal form, which is just suitable for His pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord Himself in His form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, His transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments.
Okay, so this verse is especially very important and very sweet and dear verse of the devotees, right? Because it describes Krishna's attractive beauty. Gaurang Prabhu would quote this verse very often, especially the term Bhushana Bhushanangam. Right? And this verse is also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita by the Lord Himself to describe Krishna's beauty. Right? So this is one of the very important verses actually. This Yanmarta Leela Upakam Suyoga Maya Balam Darshayata Grihitam. Right? Those who are attracted towards Krishna's beauty, this verse is very important. So this says, for his human like pastime, yan marta leela upayekam, suitable, Krishna manifested a form so yoga maya balam, on the strength of his yoga maya, by the strength of his internal potency, which is so yoga maya balam, darshayata grihitam, he manifested this form. Right, this form is eternal, but he manifested before the vision of all. This form is just suitable for his human-like pastimes. Vismapanam swasya. Vismapanam, this form was so beautiful. Right? And the last line says this form was so beautiful that it is bhushana bhushanangam. Ornaments make the person beautiful. But Krishna form makes the ornament beautiful, right? Like in Krishna, you put so many ornaments. The ornaments are beautified by Krishna's form. So therefore, it is a very beautiful phrase. Bhushana Bhushanangam. Krishna's body is the ornament for the ornament. Right? Like we put some different kind of mala, some flower, this, that. And they are beautified actually by Krishna's body. And this form is so exquisitely beautiful, Vismapanam. Vismapanam, anyone would see, everyone was astonished. Everyone means what? Like sometimes we say, today evening is Harinam, everyone should come. Everyone doesn't mean all the demigods, sages, you know, everyone should come, you know, what everyone, those who are hearing, you know, some of them will come when we make a call. Everyone, our everyone is a, you know, actually someone only, you know, in one sense. Here, everyone means absolutely everyone. Right? Even the trees and the birds and the creepers, the sages, demigods, even the Lord Vaikuntha Murtis would be surprised. They would be astonished by seeing Vismapanam, everyone includes Krishna also. Swasya, Vismapanam Swasya. Right? He himself, when Krishna saw, is described in Bhagavatam later, Krishna saw his own form, he was astonished to see the beauty. He desired to taste its sweetness. Therefore he came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There also this word is used. This verse is used. When the Lord's internal reason for Lord descent are discussed, this verse has been quoted over there. Right? Because Krishna's form was so super excellent that even everyone means including Krishna. Absolutely everyone. Right? Not a small everyone which we experience. So, and it is the Vismapanam Sosyacha Saubhagarde Parampadam. It is the supreme abode of all opulences. Right? All the opulences in their fullness are found in this form of Krishna. Right? So he said, this Prabhupada says in the middle of the second paragraph. First of all, I'll just read. I'm reading the last four lines of the first paragraph. But in spite of his appearing as a human being, no one was or is equal to him in any respect in any of the six opulences. Prabhupada says he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. Right? And then in the middle of, or the seventh, eighth line of the next paragraph, it should not be misunderstood that his transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastime in the mortal world, is in any way inferior to his different expansion in Vaikuntha Loka. His body manifested in the material world is transcendental par excellence in the sense that his pastimes in the mortal world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha Lokas. This form which Krishna manifested for Martha Leela actually excels his form in the Vaikuntha Loka. Right? So that is the super excellence of this Krishna's form which he manifests here. And this is a beautiful verse. Madhya Leela 21:101. Krishnera yate kakhela sarvatam nar lila taharas roop. Gopavesha venukar navkishora natavar nar lilara hai anurup. Right? Krishnera yate kakhela sarvatam nar lila. Among all the pastimes of Krishna in the material and spiritual worlds, Sarvottama Narlila, the manifest pastime as Krishna's human pastimes, Narvapu Tahara Sarup, his Sarup is this. Actually, human being is made after. Right? It's not that Krishna assumed the form like a human being, but human being has been given the form after Krishna. His Sarup is Narvapu Tahara Sarup. Madhya Leela 21:101. This verse is a kind of quoted just after this verse. Madhya Leela 21:100 is this verse. Janmartha Leela Upaikam Sayoga Maya Balam Darshayita Agrihitam. After that verse is quoted as explanation of this verse. Right, so therefore the super excellence of Krishna's form is indicated in this verse. Therefore the verse is very, very important. Right? Text 13. Yadharma shunor bhataraja suye Narikshayadrik sustenam triloka Kasne na chadde hagatam vidhatur
अर्वाक्षितो कौशलमित्यमन्यता.
All the demigods from the upper, lower and middle universal planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna, they all contemplated that he was the ultimate and dexterous creation of Brahma, the creator of human beings.
Okay, so it said that when those all the kings assembled at Rajasuya sacrifice saw this form, they said, this is the most beautiful creation of Brahma. Right? So most dexterous means most skillful. Dexterous means skillful. Okay? So the less intelligent people, they thought in this way, that the ultimate dexterous creation of Brahma is this form. Those who were more intelligent, they thought that this form has nullified the image of Brahma as a dexterous creator. Right? Nothing in the Brahma's creation is like this. Those who were intelligent. Right? So the less intelligent people glorified that is the most, this is the masterpiece of Brahma's creation. And the other in more intelligent people, they said Brahma's creation is the, nothing in front of this form of the Lord. Right? They were more intelligent. So both were actually appreciating the form, and Krishna accepted both sentiments equally. Because Lord accepts the bhav. Right? They were not aware that, you know, Krishna's form is not creation of Brahma, but they are appreciating the form. Right? Murkho vadati Vishnaya. Right? Pandito vadati Vishnave. Ubhyam tu samam punyam bhav grahi janardana. Is that somebody, while like we say Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Vishnave Namaha, right? Someone may say Om Keshavaya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha, Vishnavaya Namaha. Right? Instead of Vishnave, Vishnaya somebody may say. You know, in the sequence. He said, but the Lord accept Om Vishnaya Namaha, Ubhyam Tu Samam Punyam. He gives credit same. One who, Murkho, one who is not very intelligent in Sanskrit, he may say Om Vishnaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, in the sequence, right? Instead of Vishnave. So this verse says, Lord accepts both equally because he is bhavgrahi. Right? So less intelligent people glorified Krishna as the masterpiece creation of Brahma. More intelligent people thought, oh, Brahma's creation, nothing is like that. Krishna accepted both praises equally. Ubhayam tu samam punyam bhavgrahi janardana. Like that. This verse, just check it out, one of the... I don't remember where exactly, but this is quite a famous verse. It's not exactly from that, it's one of the, some others, it's from the supplementary sources. It's not a Bhagavatam verse. Text 14. It starts with, that verse starts with, Vishnaya, Murkho Vadati Vishnaya, Pandito Vadati Vishnave. Right? So if you find the search, you will be able to find it out in folio. Text 14. Yasya anuraga plutahasa rasa Leela valoka pratilabdhamana Rajastriyodrik bhiranu pravitta Diyo vatashtastu kila kritashesha Astu kila kritashesha.
The damsels of Raja, after pastimes of laughter, humor and exchanges of glances, were anguished when Krishna left them. They used to follow him with their eyes, and thus they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duties.
Okay. So, although great demigods and sages and so many others were attracted by Krishna's form, herein Uddhavji says that the attraction of the gopis was the highest. Right? He established that the gopis have maximum attraction toward this form of the Krishna. (Clears throat) And Vishnu Thakur says, the love of the gopis, which astonished the whole world, including Krishna himself, created bewilderment in the women of Vraja. Said they would be, this by seeing this form, they would be bewildered. By remembering this form, they would be totally bewildered. There is a verse by Bilwamangal Thakur where he says, Vikredukama kila gopakanya murari padarpita chitta vritti dadyadikam mohavashad avochad govinda damodar madhaveti. Said the gopi sometime would go to the village to sell milk and yogurt. But they would be thinking of Krishna's form in their mind. So instead of telling people, please take milk, please buy yogurt, they would go around and chant Govind, Damodar, Madhaveti, and remembering Krishna's form, they will bring the whole stock back without selling anything. And this kind of bewilderment was created in the gopis. Right? No business done, because instead of saying buy milk and yogurt, they would chant the name of Krishna and then come back the stock as it is. Right? That's how attractive the form of Krishna is, which produced maximum attraction for the gopis and maximum bewilderment over it is described over here. Right? And also Prabhupada says, although they would sometime be very angry with Krishna, but when Krishna would leave, they could not, that form would just remain. With their eyes, they would follow that form of the Krishna. That is also described in this verse. Okay, so that is the third section. So we'll continue. You can take a break of 10 minutes. We'll continue after that.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so now the fourth section is 15 to 24, right? And then it will be, the last section will be remembrance of Krishna's sweetness, which is Vrindavan pastime. That will be 25 to 34. So this is 15 to 24, remembrance of Krishna, human-like activities and his mercy. That is this fourth section. So two sections, three we've already covered, two sections are remaining. Text 15.
So shantarupe shuitare sarupair. Abhyardhamane shunukampitatma. Paravaresho mahadamsha yukto yajo pijato bhagavan yathagni.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth just like fire, accompanied by the Mahat Tattva.
Okay, so here in whenever there is a conflict, right, or when his devotees who are referred to as so shantarupeshu, his devotees, peaceful devotees, and itare means others who are not so, who are against the devotees. When the others, they harass abhyardhamaneshu, when they harass the peaceful devotees, the Lord by his mercy, he descends, right? Anukampitatma. That Lord is para avara isho. Para avara, the up and the down, right? From the top to the down, from the spiritual world to the material world, everything. Para avara isho, right? So he is the Lord of the material and the spiritual world. Mahad amsha yukto, although Prabhupada translates, he descends accompanied by Mahatattva. And Prabhupada also in the purport and Vishnu Thakur says that he descends along with all his expansions, along with all the Purushavataras from whom Mahatattva comes. So whenever the non-devotees harass the devotees, the Lord who is the Lord of the material and spiritual world, he descends accompanied by, or he descends along with all his expansions who are merged in his body, right? Which include the Purushavataras who are the Lords of the Mahatattva. Like that. So that's the meaning of this verse. Prabhupada says, second paragraph, the Karmis, Jnanis and Yogis have their particular mentalities in the modes of nature, and therefore they are called Itra or non-devotees. These Itra, including even the Yogi, sometime harass the devotees of the Lord. Itra Jana, even this word Itra is used by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He said, this pastime of the Lord, Itra Jana Naribe Bujhite, the ordinary non-devotees, they cannot understand this pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Itra Jana Naribe Bujhite. So Itra word is used there also, just remembered, so shared that with you. So these Prabhupada said, these Itras, including even the yogis, sometime harass the devotees of the Lord. Durvasa Muni, then Prabhupada gives the example of Durvasa Muni. And then Prabhupada says, and another great Karmi and Jnani, Hiranyakashipu, even harass his own Vaishnav son. So Prabhupada includes Durvasa Muni as Itar, a non-devotee, a great yogi. Although he's a great yogi, Prabhupada brings him into the category of Itar. And says, sometimes they harass the devotee, Durvasa Muni, and sometimes the Karmi and Jnani like Hiranyakashipu harass Prahlad Maharaj. There are many instances of such harassment of the peaceful devotees by the Itaras. When such friction takes place, the Lord, out of his great compassion, right, Anukampitatma, towards his pure devotee, appear in person accompanied by his plenary portions, controllers of Mahatattva. Right? You see that? Again, Prabhupada at the end of the second paragraph says, Mahad Amsha Yukto indicates that he is accompanied by the Purushas who create the Mahatattva. Like that. Text 16. Mam khedyate tadajasya janma vidambanam yad vasudeva gehe vraje chavasho aribhayadi vasvayam purad vivastasi Purad Vyavastha Siddhayad Ananta Vidya.
When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Vraja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidents give me distress.
So, Uddhav ji is saying, remembering Krishna's human-like pastimes, the word vidambanam is used. In Kunti Maharani, use the word and vidambanam, right? These pastimes, human-like pastimes of Krishna are very bewildering. Why does Krishna perform such human-like pastime, right? Although he's unborn, he appears as a small baby, right? Sometimes he lives incognito of the fear of the enemy. Krishna went to Vraja, and Krishna himself, when he met with Yashoda and Devaki, he said, please forgive, O mother and father, we were living in fear of Kamsa in Vraja, we could not come to serve you, right? And how Krishna once fed when Kalyavan at Jarasandha, he fled from Jarasandha, even Kalyavan. So Krishna fled from the battlefield, right? So he's saying that all these human-like pastimes, remembering them, give me pain. He said, why give you pain? Krishna performs these human-like pastimes because it attracts the affection of his devotees a maximum. These human-like pastimes, although it may be bewildering to others, but it enhances the sweetness of his loving exchange with his devotees. Therefore, Krishna performed these pastimes. Right? It brings out maximum affection from the devotees. It draws maximum affection. It's human-like pastimes. Right? Just like we had discussed, when Lord came as Narsingdev, even his wife was afraid to come near. Right? So it was not withdrawing affection. You know, the demigods were afraid to come near, every like that. Right? So they were only at a distance offering prayers, everyone. It was not withdrawing out the affection. But Krishna performed pastime which withdraws maximum affection. But here, Uddhavji is saying, I am pained by remembering this pastime. He is pained because people misunderstand these pastimes. So there are twofold pain connected with the Krishna's pastime of the devotees. The devotees feel twofold pain. So that is described in this and the next verse. This verse, he says, when people misunderstand all this pastime, you act like human, just like a human being, but people misunderstand and that gives me pain. Right? So that is the verse. In the next, he describes the second kind of pain. The text 17.
Dunoti cheta smarato mametad. Yadaha pada babivanda pitro. Tatambakam sad urushankitanam. Prasidatam no krita nishkriti nam.
Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their inability to serve their feet. Due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa, he said, O mother, O father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart.
So now herein, when Krishna bows down to his parents and asks forgiveness for their inability to serve, how is this giving pain to Uddhava? Herein, remembering Krishna's humility, which nourished the sweetness of his relations, right? These very humble expressions, which is nourishing the sweetness of a relation, remembering that, Uddhava feels the pain of separation. So now, this is giving him pain of separation. First pain was pain of people misunderstanding Krishna pastime. Second, this intimate pastimes of Krishna reminds him, that brings forth the Krishna's sweetness in the mind and the pain of separation increase. So therefore he's saying remembering these pastimes gives pain at heart. Right? So this is a desirable pain. Right? This, to experience this pain, is the goal of life actually, in one sense. And Prabhupada talks about that, commenting on these words of the Lord, you know, how the Lord spoke so humbly to his parents. Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, fifth or sixth line, the Lord whose lotus feet are worshipped by demigods like Brahma and Shiva, wanted to worship the feet of Vasudev. Such instruction by the Lord to the world is quite appropriate. Even if one is Supreme Lord, one must serve his parents. Right? So even though he is the greatest of all, the Lord wants to serve his parents. And Prabhupada said it is so appropriate. So remembering these pastimes increase the pain of separation in the hearts of devotees. And Prabhupada says, Uddhava was simply struck with wonder by such glorious behavior of the Lord. The last two lines. And he was very sorry that he was unable to go with him. Right? So the pain is that of separation. Text 18. Kova amushyangri sarojarenum vismar tumishet puman vijigran yo visfurat bhru vitapena bhumer bharam kritantena tirashchakara.
Who, after smelling the dust of his lotus feet even once, could ever forget it? Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given the death blow to those who were burdening the earth.
Right? So, remembering Krishna's activities, so he's saying, who could, you know, who after smelling the dust of his lotus feet could forget the Lord? Right? He just removed the burden of the earth, right? He descended to remove the burden of the earth. He removed the burden of the earth just by expanding the leaf of his eyebrows. Right? Leaves means the eyebrows, eyelids are here set, the leaves of his eyebrows. Right? Just by uplifting of his eyebrows, Krishna actually relieved the burden. He decided. Once he decided, then it would be executed without fail. Right? So, Guru text 19. Drishta bhavadvir nanuraja suye. Chadyasya krishnam dishatopi siddhi. Yam yogina sam sprihayanti samyag. Yoge nakastadviraham saheta.
You have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success with great interest by performance of their various practices. Who can tolerate separation from him?
Okay, so now in the last verse he talks about Krishna removing the burden just by his desiring. Saying, but okay, you know, Krishna, or by his desire, and he made some people, Arjuna as his instrument to remove the burden. But, you know, the burden could have been removed by other Kshatriyas also. Other Kshatriyas could also perform this task. Right? So therefore, Uddhav ji, he gives three examples of Krishna's supreme mercy in text 19, 20 and 23. To show that no other could show such mercy. Who could tolerate separation from such a merciful Lord? Yogena kastad viraham saheta. Right? So basically, kastam viraham saheta. How could we tolerate separation from such a merciful Lord? Right? Herein saying that who even gave liberation to the envious king of Chedi, Shishupal. Right? So there's the first instance of mercy described. So the three instances, as I said, 19, 20, 23, describes three events of his mercy, one greater than another, in the ascending order. So Prabhupada says, Krishna's causeless mercy was exhibited in the great assembly of Maharaj Yudhishthir. He was merciful even to his enemy, the king of Chedi, who always tried to be an envious rival of the Lord, because it is not possible to be a bona fide rival of the Lord. The king of Chedi was extremely malicious towards Lord Krishna. What does it mean? Because it is not possible to be a bona fide rival of the Lord, the king of Chedi was extremely malicious towards Lord Krishna. What is the meaning of this line? It means the king of Chedi was trying to find fault with Krishna, who is faultless. So person who is faultless, how can there be any bona fide fault finder? He has to be a bogus fault finder, because there is no fault exists in Krishna. So malicious, he was a malicious toward Krishna. There can be, no one can find any darkness in the sun. Right? If someone says there is a darkness in the sun, that person is malicious actually. Right? No one can find. So Krishna is like the sun. Faults are like the darkness. No one can find darkness in the sun. Right? It doesn't exist. That is the meaning of this line. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada says, the last line of the purport, last three, four lines, the Lord was merciful even to his enemy, and the success of the king of Chedi was observed by everyone who was present in the assembly. Vidura was also present there, and therefore Uddhava referred the incident to his memory. Said, you witness yourself, right? Krishna's mercy upon Shishupal. Who even gave mercy to the enemy? Who could forget such a merciful Lord? Kastad viraham saheta. Text 20. Tathaiva channe naraloka veera.
Yahave Krishna Mukharavindam Netre Pibanto Nayanabhiramam Parthastraputa Padamapurasya.
Who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows, and while seeing the lotus face, lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of Lord.
Okay, so having described Krishna's mercy upon the envious Shishupal, now Uddhavji describes Krishna's mercy to those who were neutral. Tathaiva cha anne. Right? Others, naraloka vira, tathaiva cha anne, others who were not envious, they were neutral. They were naraloka vira, great fighters, ye ahave on the battlefield. Krishna mukharavindam netre pibanto nayanabhiramam. Those on the battlefield, they saw Krishna's lotus feet and drank the beauty. Means they even slightly appreciated, because they were neutral, they were not envious. They had some appreciation of Krishna's beauty. Here Uddhavji is saying they drank Krishna beauty. That is his like emotion, you understand? But those who even slightly appreciated, Uddhavji is saying they appreciated Krishna's beauty, and by being purified, Partha Astra Puta, by being purified by the Astra of the Partha, Padam Apur, right, they attained the supreme abode. So they attained the highest destination. Tathaiva Channe Naraloka Vira Yahave Krishna Mukharavindam Netre Pibanto Nayanabhiramam Partha Astra Puta Padam Apurasya. Right? It's also a very beautiful verse. So they were given the abode of the Lord. So Prabhupada says, in the sixth line of the purport, all the warriors who fought against Arjuna, but who were able to see the lotus-like face of the Lord on the battlefield, achieved the abode of the Lord exactly as the devotees of the Lord do. The words pleasing to the eyes of the seers, Nayanabhiramam. Right? So that face, the quality of Krishna's face is Nayanabhiramam. That's like about Lord Ram, he said, Ramam Lokabhiramam. The Lord Ram was very pleasing to all the citizens. So here the words pleasing to the eyes of the seer are very significant. When the warriors from the other side of the battlefield saw Lord Krishna at the front, they appreciated his beauty and their dormant instinct of love of Godhead was awakened. Then Prabhupada describes, although they achieved the Lord abode, towards the last 5-6 lines of the first paragraph, Prabhupada says, but there are degrees of such transcendental awakening. Although they had awakening of love of God, one should not consider that awakening is the same in everything. Sometimes we think the ultimate goal of the life is to achieve the love. But that love has different stages. That love, right? Prema krame badi yai, man sneha man parnai. That love of Godhead, what you talk of prema, has further 7 stages, and it goes on increasing. There is no satiation. There is nothing like, you know, one has achieved the perfection here. This is done. Nothing higher to be achieved. There are further 7 stages of increase of love, and beyond that, the love goes on increasing. Although the terminology is not there, but the love is ever increasing. Right? The stages stop, but the increase of love never stops. Right? So in this way, Prabhupada says there are different degrees of such transcendental awakening. Those whose love of Godhead is awakened to the fullest extent go back to Goloka Vrindavan, planet in the spiritual sky. Whereas person who just awakened to the love of Godhead by accident or association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. And Prabhu said, essentially there is no material difference between Goloka and Vaikuntha. But in the Vaikunthas, the Lord is served in unlimited opulence, whereas in Goloka, the Lord is served in natural affection. Right? So that is a comparison between Vaikuntha and Goloka. The Lord is served with unlimited opulence, and here the Lord is served with natural affection. Of course, affection is there also, but that is more prominent. Okay. Again, Prabhupada says in the next paragraph, the word Parthastaputa is significant. Those who saw the beautiful face of the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified first by Arjuna when he made his onslaught with arrows. Right? So when material nature also, you know, shoots arrow at us, you know, at so many ways, and then gradually one day we are able to appreciate Krishna better, you know, being purified by the material energy, and then we can appreciate Krishna, and then Krishna awards the devotee. Right? The material nature actually does the same task, you know. It is material nature is trying to push a devotee towards Krishna, and Krishna attraction pulls a devotee towards him. Right? Like that. Text 21. Swayam to asamya atishayastridhisha. Sorajya lakshmi apta samasta kama. Balim harad bis chiraloka pale. Kirita kote de the pada pita.
Lord Shri Krishna is the Lord of all kind of trees and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet.
Okay, so remember from 19th he started describing the mercy of the Lord, greater mercy given to neutral people. In between, now the next mercy is described in text 23rd. In between 21, 22nd, he describes how could he forget such a merciful Lord, right? Whose pastimes are extremely sweet, right? So again, earlier he was saying, Kastam virham saheta, who can forget the Lord, right? So herein, again, that in two verses it comes. Before describing the next stage of mercy, he again is overcome by the emotion, how can we forget such a merciful Lord? So the two verses are that. Right? So herein, the verse says that he is swayam tu asamya atishayastridhisha surajya lakshmi apta samasta kama. Krishna's various, he is asamya, not to be equal to anyone, atishaya, greater than all, he is trayadhisha, lord of the threes, surajya lakshmi, he has his own independent, all his fortune is independent, samasta kama, all his things are all his desires are satisfied. Balim Haradvis Chira Lokapala, all the Lokapalas come and offer their offerings to him. And he described when they come and offer their offerings to him, their helmets collide. And the sound produced, it's like that they are offering prayers to Krishna. Right? So describing all these opulence, what does Uddhavaji means over herein? He's saying, although he is such a Lord, unequaled and unrivaled by anyone, he still carries out, he still becomes the order carrier of his devotees. Right? So the next verse will make it clear. So all the opulences described, the Lord with all these unlimited opulences, right? All the rulers of all the planets bow down at his feet. Still, he becomes the order carrier of his devotees. Who can forget such a lord? Right? So the word Trayadhisha has also been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada says, lord of threes. All kind of threes. What are the different kind of threes? Three, one by one. Three Purushas. Okay, lord of three Purushavataras. Lord of three Gunas. Right? Then? Three worlds. Upper, lower. Okay, the three world can have mean two things. One is the three lower planet system, middle and upper. Three world also could mean the material world, the Kuntas and the Goloka. That is also the meaning of three world, Trayadhisha. Then, what the other three, lord of the three energies, three principal energy, the external, marginal and internal energy. Then, the lord of the three Guna avataras also. Right? So, in this way, the lord of the threes, there are many meanings discussed of Trayadhisha. Right? So in this way, such a lord who carries out the order of his devotees, who can forget such behavior, the sweetness, the humility of his pastime. Right? So that is indicated by this verse. Because more evident from text 22. Sorry? Three pair of opulences. Did I say that? Okay, six opulences. Oh, you can divide into three pairs. Where is written? Three pairs of opulences? Or three pairs of opulences. Okay. So the six have been categorized into three pairs. Yeah. But that opulences here are indicated also by Swarajya Lakshmi Apta, right? All kind of any other word used for that, independent supremacy, Lakshmi the fortune, right? Yeah. Next shloka clarifies that. So therefore the two are related. Right? So herein he pointed all the opulences to show that such a lord becomes a servant of his devotees. Text 22. Tattasya kankaryamalam bhritanno vaglapate yangayadurugrasenam tishtan nishannam parameshtidhishne nebodayaddeva nidharayeti.
Therefore, O Vidura, does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before King Ugrasen, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanations before him, saying, O my Lord, please let it be known to you.
Okay, so such a Lord, with all these unlimited qualities and opulences, he would submit before Ugrasena, as if he, you know, he's a very loyal, you know, to Ugrasena's order and everything. And Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna's gentle behavior before his so-called superiors, such as his father, grandfather and elder brother. Now, from tattva point of view, Prabhupada is calling so-called superiors. But from his pastime point of view, they are his superiors, right? As we discuss emotional statement versus factual statement. So from the viewpoint of fact, they are so-called superiors. But from the viewpoint of Krishna's dealing with emotion, they are his superiors. So his amiable behavior with his so-called wise friend and contemporaries, his behavior as a child before his mother Yashoda, and his naughty dealing with his young friends cannot bewilder a pure devotee like Uddhava. Right? He cannot be bewildered about Krishna's factual position by this pastime. Like so many people who are bewildered by this pastime, they consider Krishna to be ordinary. Prabhupada quotes the verse, Avjananti Mamura. Okay, so describing these two words, again in between these two verses, saying how can we forget, right? The Lord who had behaved in such a way, again he shows the third instance of Krishna's mercy in text 23. This is a very famous verse. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam shayapa yajadappya sadvi yajadappya sadvi lebe gatim dhatri uchitam tatanyam kam vadayalum sharanam vrajema.
Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast?
You have this verse to be memorized, surely you must have, right? Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam shaya. Aho, alas, bakiyam, right? Putana was known as Baki, the sister of Baka. Right? Ayam stana kalakutanam. She applied this kalakut poison on her breast. Jighamshaya, with the envious, with the desire to kill, she came apayayad appya sadhvi. She came and tried to feed Krishna. Right? Asadhvi word is used for Putana. And what did she attain? Lebhe gatim dhatri uchatam tutanyam. She attained the position of dhatri. Right? So there are seven mothers. Dhatri is one of them. Atma mata guru patni. Brahmani rajapatnika. Dhenu dhatri tatha prithvi. Saptayata matara smritha. Seven mothers are indicated in this verse. Right? Beginning with atma mata. One's own mother. Then guru patni. Then Brahmani, the wife of Brahmana, Rajapatnika, the wife of the king, Dhenur, the cow, Dhatri, nurse. Nurse means who assists the mother. You know, there is mother, but there is one assistant. Right? Nowadays, everywhere, even in nuclear family, there is one Dhatri, in one sense, you know, and the child becomes more attached to Dhatri because the own mother goes for job or something. Right? Tatha Prithvi, Prithvi is also mother. So seven mothers. So Dhatri, so she attained the position of a Dhatri, a nurse, who assist. There are two dhatris in the spiritual world. And their names have been mentioned. What are the names of dhatris in Krishna Loka, in Goloka Vrindavan? Ambika and Kalimba. These are two dhatris who assist Mother Yashoda. Right? So she attained a similar service to Ambika and Kalimba. Dhatri. So this verse, it said that when Sukadeva Goswami left, right? Yam prava jantam anupetam apeta krityam, right? He left and went to the forest. Then Vyasadev, he was thinking, you know, I want to give Bhagatam to somebody who may has the ability to grasp Bhagatam, grahan karne ki jisme shakti ho, right? Who can actually, who is free from all material tinges, who is situated already in the Paramahamsa order, only that person can grasp. So Sukadeva Goswami is the right candidate. So what did he do? He wrote some of the verses and sent some of his young disciples go and recite these verses of Bhagatam. So one of the verses which attracted the attention of Sukadeva Goswami was this verse. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. Right? When he heard this verse and few other verses were given of Vyasadeva to his disciples, Sukadeva Goswami's attention was withdrawn towards Krishna. Right? So therefore this verse is a very favorite verse of the Vaishnavas. This verse shows Krishna's highest mercy. Right? So some of the Vaishnavacharya said that Putana came, Krishna thought that she has come with the highest evil attention, with the highest evil motive. Right? I have to match by showing the highest mercy. Right? So she had the highest evil motive in her heart, and Krishna matched that with the highest mercy. Therefore, this mercy to Putana, which is the third mercy incident, is considered the highest mercy of Krishna. Right? And Prabhupada also says, towards the last few lines of the purport, Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity. That's a very important word. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and award him the highest reward. Right? So there is another beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, and Prabhupada says, this is the standard of his character. He accepts the least qualification and gives the highest reward. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? Kamva dayalu sharanam vrajema. Right? So there is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antalila, chapter 1, verse 107, which says, Ishvara sobhava bhaktera nalaya prad alpa seva bahu mane atma prayant prasad. Ishvara, what is the nature of Ishvara, the Lord? Bhaktera nalaya aparad. Even a devotee commit many offenses, the Lord doesn't consider them seriously. Alpa seva bahu mane, some little service, as Prabhupada is saying, Krishna considers that to be a great service. Right? And what does he reward? Atma prayant prasad. Small service, considered very great, and gives himself as a reward. Atma prayant prasad. In this material world, people may at max say thank you, right? And what is the prasad? Nagachu prasad. There is nothing to give, you know. Actually, people are told, you know, there's some, you take some favor, say thank you so much, you know. You express that great favor has been done, but no prasad, no reward, right? That's like a diplomacy. You just, by words, you reward a person. Krishna doesn't just by words reward a person, he gives himself to a devotee. Right, so that's a beautiful verse about Krishna's nature, right, which comes out in this particular verse. Huh? Sorry? Antalila 1.107. Okay, so the last 24th in this section of Krishna's human-like pastime and this demonstration of mercy. Manne asuran bhagavatam stridhishe. संब्रम्भ मार्गाभिनिविष्ट चित्तान् ये संयुगे चक्षत तार्क्ष पुत्रम्
I consider the demons who are inimical toward the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Taraksha, Kashyapa, and carrying the wheel weapon in his hand.
Okay, he is saying, Manne asuran bhagavatams. These asuras are the greater devotees. Then you know, I consider that these devotees inimical to the Lord to be greater than the devotees. Why? Saying because they see the Lord coming, at the Lord, when they kill them, at the time of leaving the body, we have darshan of the Lord. This is, and while I leave the body, I will not be able to see the Lord because the Lord has already disappeared. So what kind of statement is that? Emotional statement. Manne is his emotion. It's not a factual. It's not that all the demons are greater devotees, you know. That is his emotion. So, Prabhupada says, if you see in the 8th line of the purport, actually the demons can never be equal to the pure devotees. But Uddhava was thinking in that way because of his feelings of separation. He was thinking that at the last stage of his life, he might not be able to see the Lord face to face, as did the demons. Right? The demon could get darshan of the Lord at the last stage. I will not be able to get the darshan. They are better devotees. That is his emotion in this way. Right? So the last section, 25 to 34, which is the remembrance of Krishna's pastime in Vraja. So this 10 verses is a zipped file of 10th canto. 25 to 34. In 10 verses, the 10th canto has been zipped over here and presented by Uddhava. Within the zipped file, there is another wonder for you that I'll reveal a little later. There is another wonderful feature within the zipped file. As we open, I will point that out. Text 25. Vasudeva devasya devakyam jato bhojendra bandhane chikirshur bhagavanasya sham ajena abhiyachita.
The personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to earth, was begotten by Vasudev in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of the king of Bhoja.
Okay, so begin with Krishna birth by Vasudev and Devaki. Right, so you can go through the purports. I will not discuss much because all these pastimes will be discussed in detail anyway in the future. Right. So just Vishnu Thakur points out that actually he is discussing Krishna's disappearance, you know, Vidura, he is informing Uddhavji. But then now he begins with Krishna's birth, right? So, as he's explaining the sad pastimes, he begins now explaining the joyous pastime. It relieves the devotees' pain of separation from the Lord, right? So it's a very sensitive thing over here. So with Uddhavji now begins with Krishna's birth and informs Uddhavji of the joyous pastimes of Vrindavan, which will relieve the pain of separation which both have been experiencing. 26. Tato nanda vrajammita pitrakam sadvibhipyata ekadasha samastatra guda archi sabalo vashat.
Thereafter, his father, being afraid of Kamsa, brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda, and there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baldev.
Okay, so then after birth, Krishna went to Nandavraja and lived there for 11 years and performed beautiful pastime. He stayed like a covered fire, Gudha Archi, Sa Balo. Sir Balo means along with Baldev, Balram, Avasat. He resided there like a covered fire. Covered fire, two meanings are given in this purport, one meaning in the next purport. How Krishna like a covered fire. First meaning is of covered fire, he performed his Balya, Pogand and Kishore Leela pastimes unknown to Kamsa. He remained like a covered fire. Second, Krishna covered his qualities of supremacy or covered his qualities of Supreme Lord with his sweetness. So therefore, he was like a covered fire. And Prabhupada says the third meaning in the next purport, third paragraph, last paragraph, the fourth, fifth line. As a small particle of fire can kindle a great fire with fuel, so the Lord killed all the great demons beginning from his babyhood in the house of Nanda Maharaj. A covered fire. People didn't realize. As the demon would come, this fire would ablaze suddenly. Right? And the demon would be killed. Again, it would be like a covered fire. Right? You got the point? A small fire can also set ablaze to a big fire and can cause big destruction. So that's Prabhupada gives the third meaning of the good archi, the covered fire. Now, beginning with text 27 to 34, there are 8 verses. So text 26 says he came to Vrindavan and resided in Vrindavraja like a covered fire. Vrindavan pastimes are given in 8 verses. So this is like a summary. You can call this like a Vrindavan Leela Ashtakam. So in 8 verses, this Ashtakam of Vrindavan Leela is given by Uddhavaji. Right? So within the zipped file is one Ashtakam also. That I wanted to point it out. 27 to 34. Parito vatsa pair vatsams charyan viharad vibhu yamuno pavane kujad dvijasang kulitangripe.
In his childhood, the Almighty Lord was surrounded by cowherd boys and calves, and thus he travelled on the shore of the Yamuna river through gardens densely covered with the trees and filled with vibrations of chirping birds.
28. Komarim darshayam cheshtam prekshaniyam rajaukasam rudan iva hasanmugda balasimmavalokana.
When the Lord displayed his activities just suitable for childhood, he was visible only to the residents of Vrindavan. Sometimes he would cry and sometimes laugh, just like a child, and while so doing, he would appear like a lion cub.
This is a very beautiful example, analogy given. Bala Simha Valokana. Krishna was like a lion cub. Right? So it said that the lion cub, although he's just small and he doesn't have, you know, he's still afraid of the bigger animals, but sometimes he just want to show his bravery and jump on the big animals, you know, show his bravery. So lion, after all, you know. And then when probably any lion, any bigger animal may begin to hurt, you know, he just comes back to the shelter of his. So Krishna would actually show his bravery, he would kill them, but then he would become like a dependent child upon his parents. He would come back to their shelter. Right? So that kind of behavior Krishna exhibited. Simultaneously, he would be helpless, dependent on his parents, but as a lion cub, you know, he would jump on the demons and actually kill them. You know, just like sometimes the cub may jump at the bigger animal and actually scare them away. Right? So that analogy is given of Krishna simultaneously exhibiting his bravery and his dependence upon his parents. So that is a Bala Simha Valokana. Text 29. Seva Godhanam Lakshmya Niketam Sitakko Vrisham Charayan Anugan Gopan Ranadvenur Ariramat.
While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys.
Okay, so again, very beautiful verse. The Krishna would herd wealth of cows. The word Godhanam is used, who have been described here as abode of beauty. Right? So Krishna, who would herd the wealth of his cows, the herd, and they all the cows were the abode of his beauty. And Vishnu Thakur says, the cows being white, black, blue, green, yellow, red, right? Different colors. They were all like the abode of the beauty. And Krishna would herd them. And especially he would enliven his followers by playing of his flute. Charayan Anugan Gopan Ranadvenur Ariramat. And Prabhupada writes very beautiful in the second paragraph, over and above all, the Lord used to play his celebrated flute. The sound vibrated by his flute would give his friends such transcendental pleasure that they would forget all talks of Brahmanand, which is so praised by the impersonalist. Right? Then Prabhupada said, these cohort boys, as will be explained by Shukadeva Goswami, were living entities who had accumulated heaps of pious acts and thus were enjoying with the Lord in person and were hearing his transcendental flute. There is a very famous verse of 10th canto which Prabhupada is quoting here, which will be explained by Shukadeva Goswami, which is इत्थम सताम ब्रह्म सुखानुभूत्या दास्यम गतानाम पर देवतेना मायाश्रितानाम नरदारकेना साकम विजरहु कृत पुण्य पुंजा. राइट, हु कैन अंडरस्टैंड द ट्रांसेंडेंटल पायटी कृत पुण्य पुंजा ऑफ दिस कॉहर्ड बॉयज हु हर्ड कृष्णस फ्लूट हु प्लेड विद हिम. नो वन कैन एस्टिमेट देयर ट्रांसेंडेंटल पायटी. बिगिन विद इत्थम सताम ब्रह्म सुखानुभूत्या. टेक्स्ट 30th. प्रयुक्तान भोज राजेन मायिना कामरूपिणा लीलया व्यनुदत्तांस्तान बाला क्रीडनकान इव.
The great wizards who were able to assume any form were engaged by the king of Bhoja Kamsa to kill Krishna, but in the course of his pastimes the Lord killed them as easily as a child breaks dolls.
Okay, so Kamsa, Mama would daily send a new doll, different size, different color, different feature, and Bhanja will daily break the doll, right? One doll per day was, has been described over here in 31. Vipannan Vishapanena Nigraya Bhujagadhipam Uthapyapaya Yadgavas Tattoyam Prakriti Sthitam.
The inhabitants of Vrindavan were perplexed by great difficulties because a certain portion of the Yamuna was poisoned by the chief of the reptiles, Kaliya. The Lord chastised the snake king within the water and drove him away. And after coming out of the river, he caused the cows to drink the water and proved that the water was again in its natural state.
Right. Again, very beautiful pastime of Kaliya Daman Leela, the prayers of the Nagapatnis. It's very extremely sweet pastimes, which he is remembering, which you all will be studying.
Ayajayad go savena Goparajam dijottame Mittasya choru bharasya Chikrishan sadvayam vibhu.
The Supreme Lord Krishna desired to utilize the opulent financial strength of Maharaj Nanda for worship of the cows, and also he wanted to give a lesson to Indra, the king of heaven. Thus he advised his father to perform worship of Go, or the pasturing land and the cows, with the help of learned Brahmanas.
Okay, so Govardhan Leela here is indicated. One important thing is Vitasya cha urubharasya. Krishna utilized the great wealth which they had accumulated for sacrifice, and also urubharasya refers to the great pride of Indra. So Krishna utilized the great wealth accumulated by Brajvasis and the great pride of Indra to create a beautiful pastime. So Krishna utilized his, so Krishna, one of Krishna's expertise is he can utilize everything to his advantage. Right? Even the great pride of Indra, Krishna utilized to his advantage to create a beautiful pastime. Krishna can utilize, you know, as at anyone's negativities to his advantage, right? Just like Akasur came, great demon. Then his body became a permanent sporting place, Fisalpatti in Braja. Right? Krishna utilized his body, right? Which was very ferocious, which was filled with envy, but Krishna utilized to his advantage. So that's the expertise of Krishna and Krishna consciousness movement. In Krishna consciousness movement, actually all the negativities can be turned into a supremely positive situation, right? By the application of Krishna consciousness, right? All the curses can become blessings when processed rightly through Krishna consciousness. So all the negativities can be turned into supremely positive situation, right? Vidura, such a negative situation, his life total failure, it became a supremely positive situation. Right, he took shelter of Krishna. That actually is the beauty of Krishna and the Krishna consciousness movement. Right?
Varshatindre vrajakopad bhagnamane yati vihvala butrilila tapatrena trato bhadranu grinnata.
O sober Vidura, King Indra is honor, having been insulted, poured water incessantly on Vrindavan, and thus the inhabitants of Vraja, the land of cows, were greatly distressed. But the compassionate Lord Krishna saved them from danger with his pastime umbrella, the Govardhan Hill.
The last verse. Sharashasi karer mrishtam manayan rajani mukham gayan kalapadam reme Srinam Mandala Mandana.
In the third season of the year, the Lord enjoyed as the central beauty of the assembly of women by attracting them with his pleasing songs in an autumn night brightened by moonshine.
Okay, so he remembers lastly Krishna's Ras Leela. So Prabhupada says, before leaving the land of cows, Vrindavan, the Lord pleased his young girlfriend, the transcendental gopis, in his Ras Leela pastimes. Here Uddhava stopped his description of the Lord activities. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagatam ki jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai Shri Uddhava ji ki jai Shri Vidur ji ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna.